With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Woo! Things got interesting yesterday. Sean Payton leaves the Saints. Suggests that he wants to do broadcasting. Says he doesn't really want to coach for next season, but afterwards, yeah, maybe a possibility. Let's find out about it. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, released a story that is an excerpt in his book, Playmakers, that is coming out. And I got to say, the payoff matched up to the hype and the tease that you had, an unbelievable reason why Sean Payton didn't replace Jason Garrett. Good morning, Mike. Good to have you back on the show. Tell us what happened.
Well, and this really is crazy. And when I heard the story while I was writing the book, and let me give you the background, because people are like, well, why is this coming out now? Why didn't it come out 3 years ago? When I got the offer from Public Affairs, the publisher of Playmakers, to write a book about the things that have happened over the last 20 years in the NFL, there's over 100 different stories, essays that delve into how the NFL operates, some of the crazy stories of the past 20 years, they said, here's something we want you to try to do. And we know it's not going to be easy, and we know there's not going to be one of these for every single one of your essays, but let's find some stuff. Let's do some new reporting. Let's get some stuff that isn't already out there for some of these things from days gone by. And I said to him, look, don't expect much here because, you know how the NFL is now. It's covered 24/7. I mean, we're always on top of everything. So I did trip over some things in the process of trying to rub the lamp while writing the book, and this is one of them. And so it was 3 years ago, just about now, and the context is the Cowboys had lost to the Rams in the divisional round, and the Saints had lost to the Rams in the championship round, capped by that ridiculous non-call of pass interference that screwed up the rule book for 2019. So immediately after that game, Saints are eliminated. That's when the Cowboys started to lay the foundation. And this is all backroom, behind-the-scenes stuff. It doesn't happen out in the open because you don't activate the process of actually hiring Sean Payton until you know that you can pull it off. The Cowboys had a deal worked out with the Saints for what the compensation would be, and a deal had been worked out with Payton as to what he would get paid. And so what would have happened next is Jason Garrett would have been fired. They would have done their search. They would have known all along what they were going to do after they did their search. And guess what? That happens from time to time in the NFL. And then after they would have searched for a while, they would have officially contacted the Saints about compensation for Payton. And then they would have officially contacted Payton and hired him. That was going to happen. That's how it was going to go down. And on January 28th of 2019, Anthony Davis, the Pelicans, I don't even know what position he plays. I guess he's a forward. I don't know. Is he a forward? I don't know. I don't follow the NBA.
Just say big
but
man.
Anthony Davis informed the Pelicans that he was not going to sign a new contract and he wanted to be traded. And was like, well, what's that have to do with this? Well, Mickey Loomis, the GM of the Saints at the time, was the VP of basketball operations for the Pelicans. And he said, hey, I can't be the guy who's the common link between these two guys leaving New Orleans at or about the same time. So, sorry, Sean, just can't do it. And that was that. And pulled the plug. September 15 of that year, Payton signed a contract extension. And, you know, that was supposedly the end of it until yesterday, because now Payton's no longer the head coach of the Saints. And that's going to spark up the speculation that Jerry's going to make another run at him, whether it's now, whether it's later. But we'll see. But that's why, you know, yesterday I said to the publisher, hey, this is probably a good time to to let people know what almost happened 3 years ago. If we're looking to generate interest in the book, this is probably an opportunity to do it.
Yeah, I have it pinned on my timeline, and obviously I don't get the traffic you do, but I think I even have more retweets with the book excerpt that you released yesterday. Thank goodness. That is so because Mickey Loomis was forced to be the basketball GM, he didn't want to be the bad guy and lose two of the biggest names in the entire city in 1 month.
He couldn't be responsible for both of those guys leaving New Orleans at or about the same time. And the Anthony Davis request for a trade is what derailed what would have been a trade of Sean Payton to the Dallas Cowboys. Yes.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. The book coming out with more stories like this is Playmakers. What happens with Sean Payton now?
You know, we spent some time talking about this on PFT Live earlier today. He did not close the door on coaching again, which makes it more likely he'll come back. Usually they at least try to be coy about it. He was very honest and transparent. He may coach again. And he talked about TV, and he also mentioned radio, and it's funny. He did that entire press conference with a microphone in front of him that had a Caesars Sportsbook flag on it. And I know enough about Payton from over the years and how he speaks, how he communicates. I said this on the show. I could see him kind of sitting around saying, all right, I've been coaching here for 16 years, and I get, you know, 15 to 20 million a year. I'm one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL. But, you know, they found a way. These owners have found a way to hold down the pay of coaches because, you know, you got a guy like Bill Belichick who's making 20 to 25 million. And you got a guy like Jared Goff who's making 33 and a half million. Something's not right with this. And we bust our asses and we work really hard. And now I look around and I see, you know, this goofy guy that we signed undrafted in 2003 and he becomes a pretty good quarterback. But, you know, on TV, he's just kind of goofy and he's yelling and he acts like a fan and they're paying him $18 million a year now. And then I see this guy who was a punter, who's getting $30 million a year from FanDuel now to talk about sports for 3 hours a day. You know, I could probably do that, and I could probably make more money doing that if it all falls together just right than I'm making as a coach. I could see him saying that, hey, if I really know how to explain the game to people, and I could do it in a way that's understandable and accessible and fresh. And he had a 90-minute press conference yesterday, and I watched most of it, and I never thought, man, well, this guy just shut up. So I could see him getting into radio or TV and getting one of those sports book sponsorships, and that money is falling from the sky right now. And, yeah, if you're making 15 to 20 million a year and you're working every single day, every single minute, just, you know, driving yourself to an early grave as an NFL head coach, and you could trade that in and make more money doing something with less stress and less time commitment, why the hell would you not consider that? So it wouldn't surprise me if he does it.
Yeah, but Mike, he also then said he still has a football vision, and every single TV show this morning is talking about the potential marriage with Mike McCarthy on the hot seat, Sean Payton to the Cowboys in 2023. Why would that not happen if the Cowboys don't win it all or get to the Super Bowl with McCarthy?
Well, and that's one way that it wouldn't happen. If the Cowboys overachieve next year, then you can't do it. And also, if Payton decides, I really like this. I really like, look, I'm in shape. I've lost 30 pounds. I feel good. I'm back into CrossFit. You know, he had 2012 completely out of football. He was in great shape. Yeah. He was rested. I mean, this is 10 years later where he's getting to choose to take a year off. I think if you're Jerry Jones, you don't want to give him that year to adjust to a new reality and possibly not be interested. You want to get him while he's still in coach mode.
Yeah.
And so you make him an offer he can't refuse. You know, if he thinks he could craft it for himself a little mini media empire, and I think he's good enough to do it, where he could, you know, make $30 million or more a year, or at least more than he's currently making as a coach, or as much. As much would be a wash, because at least you're not working as hard and grinding as hard, and you have the bounce of the ball or a bad call or a gust of wind screwing up your day. I think now's the time to make the move. And really, do you want Mike McCarthy coaching the whole year under this cloud that
right,
you're going to get fired and they're going to bring in Sean Payton next year? I just think if you're ever going to do it now. And the other side of it, too. And look, I hope I make it to the brink of 80. But if I was at the brink of 80, I'd probably tell myself, I don't want to assume that I got a year
right
to do this. I may just want to go ahead and do this now. If I'm going to do it, why wait? If you're going to do something and you're almost 80 and there's something that you want to do, why wait? Let's do it. Let's get this done. Let's make this happen now. So, and he didn't slam the door on coaching this year. I don't plan to. How many times have we heard people say, I don't plan to do something and plans change? Nothing like 30, 35, 40 million a year to get your plans to change.
Yeah. Mike, you know, both McCarthy and Peyton, you know, had all-time great quarterbacks. They both won a Super Bowl, you know, over a decade ago. They made the playoffs about the same amount of times. They lost about the same amount of NFC Championship games. They probably had letdowns. Why is the perception of one is so elite and the perception of the other is kind of, I don't want to say a boob, but carried by his quarterback?
Well, back in 2006, they both were under consideration for the Packers job. Peyton talked about that yesterday. He interviewed in Green Bay with the late Ted Thompson, then went to New Orleans and interviewed with Mickey Loomis. And he was upset when he found out the Packers were going in a different direction. The job he got was so much more difficult. He had to rebuild a team from scratch in a city that was still reeling from being ravaged and devastated and destroyed by a hurricane. And this was a perennial loser. They had been horrible. People think the Saints have always been good. Tell me that you're under 20 without telling me you're under 20 if you think the Saints have always been good.
The brown bags, Pat Swilling in them.
Yeah, when I was growing up, they were a pimple on the NFL's ass. they were the Washington Generals, and everybody else was the Globetrotters. That's what the Saints were for the first 20 years of their existence. It took them 20 years to get to the playoffs, and they had a really good season in 87, and they got blown out at home by the Vikings in their first ever playoff game. It took them another 13 years to win their first playoff game against the Rams in 2000. They never even won a road playoff game until 2013 when Peyton was the coach and they went to Philadelphia, but he transformed that team. And even though Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees are both Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and look, I work with Drew, but Drew knows this. Drew would admit it. Aaron Rodgers is a much more physically gifted quarterback than Drew Brees is. Drew Brees got every ounce out of his God-given abilities and then some. Aaron Rodgers has a greater God-given skill set than Drew Brees. And I just look at it this way. If the Packers had hired Sean Payton and he had been with Aaron Rodgers for 16 years, holy crap. Yeah, I don't know how many they would have won, but it would have been more than one. You know, McCarthy and Rodgers won one. Brees and Payton won one. I think McCarthy and Brees may not have won one, and Payton and Rodgers would have won more than one.
Do you have any idea what the compensation was that Jerry and the Saints worked out, or what you think it would cost today?
I have no idea what the deal was 3 years ago. And I do know that when John Gruden made the jump from the Raiders to the Buccaneers in 2002, it was two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and $8 million in cash, which just demonstrates how valuable a coach is. And it underscores the point that I have made for years, that the oligarchs who own the NFL teams have found a way to collude that has kept them from ever getting called out for it. They're never going to get sued for it. For the same reason they're never going to get sued for underrepresentation, gross underrepresentation of minority coaches in the NFL. No one is ever going to want to trade his career for being the one who sues the NFL for this kind of stuff. But they have found a way. Hey, you got Jared Goff making $33.5 million. You got Sean Payton making between $15 and $20 million. What's wrong with this picture? A good head coach is so much more valuable than what they get paid. So whatever it was, they had worked it out. And would it be the same? Would it be less? Would it be more now? I don't know. I think there's a general sense that the more time Sean Payton is out of the game, the more the price is going to go down. But, you know, regardless, if they already had the guts of a deal in place and you're motivated to do it and you were ready to do it 3 years ago and it was something completely disconnected to the Cowboys and the Saints that kept it from happening, I don't know what stops Jerry Jones from calling up Gail Benson and saying, hey, if we could do the same thing that we did 3 years ago and I could convince Sean to come coach for me, would you do that? And why would she say no at this point? Because otherwise she's not getting anything, at least until he comes back and coaches someone else.
Well, Mike, that kind of leads to this. You know, Ed Werder had mentioned that, you know, Jerry never thought that paying a coach was a smart thing to do. He never liked to pay top dollar for a coach. Now he would have to pay top dollar and give up compensation, and buy out the rest of McCarthy's contract. Would he really do that?
Well, it's easy to say it's not smart to pay a coach when the rest of the context is because nobody does. Nobody has to. No, we have found a way to keep the collective pay of coaches from being what it should be. And yeah, Bill Belichick, highest paid coach in the NFL, north of $20 million. Jared Goff makes $33.5 million. That is not how it should be. So, yeah, it's not smart to do it if no one else is doing it. But you got a $250 million yacht that he's probably spending $1 million a week just on upkeep on, right? I mean, at some point, and what? How many times have we heard him say, you wouldn't believe the size of the check that I would write to guarantee myself a Super Bowl win.
Yeah.
And I'll do anything I can. I'll move heaven and earth to try to win a Super Bowl. Now, maybe that's just huckstering to get people to be fully engaged with the Cowboys. Maybe the great surprise, the big reveal would be he really doesn't care about winning another Lombardi. He's just doing it to sell tickets and generate interest in his team. I don't think that's the case. I think he really wants to win one. This is your path. This is your way to do it. And if you want to do it, and look, the play that ended the season, that I'm sure you guys have spent a few minutes talking about over the course of the last 10 days. That doesn't happen if Sean Payton's your coach. And when Jerry was on your station on Friday, I don't know if he was on your show or a later show,
yeah. But
he, you know, what Jerry will give you is this big-ass word salad. And there's little ingredients lurking in there that you have to look for. You got to pick through the lettuce and the onions and the tomatoes, but you'll find that crouton down there. And there's some croutons in what he said last week that made me think, and this was before we knew Sean Payton was leaving.
Yeah.
It made me think he's contemplating an upgrade over Mike McCarthy. I wrote about it before we even knew that Sean Payton was out.
Yeah.
I think I wrote about it before we knew Sean Payton was out. Either way, it was something I've been talking about, and I'd meant to write about it. And there was the story that came out on Sunday that maybe Sean Payton was going to leave. I think I wrote that story first, and then I wrote, would Jerry upgrade over McCarthy? But there was enough in what he said on your station on Friday to make me think he's at least taken a step back and having that objective assessment. Can I do better than what I currently have? And that's why, because people say, well, why did he just fire Mike McCarthy then? He's not going to fire Mike McCarthy unless he knows he can get who he wants.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to fire Jason Garrett in 2019 unless he knew he was going to get Sean Payton. Mm. And that turns the whole coaching search process on its head, and it violates the spirit of the Rooney Rule, but Jerry Jones is not going to let the bird in the hand fly away until he knows he's got the two in the bush in his other hand.
Mike, last thing, what's going on with Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore?
Well, it seems like Dan Quinn is getting plenty of interest, plenty of run. He's got a Super Bowl appearance on his resume. And, you know, he was a guy that helped keep a Falcons team competitive for an extended stretch. There's just kind of a weird sense that when the dust settles, he's going to get one of those eight seats. I don't think that Kellen Moore is in the kind of demand that maybe Cowboys fans had feared, although some Cowboys fans, after the way the last game went, or maybe they would go ahead and let him go. But, you know, there's been this sense that Jerry's grooming him to be the next head coach. You know, he wants to find a Sean Payton. He wants to find a Tom Landry. He wants a homegrown guy, kind of what he tried to do with Jason Garrett. And I just don't think that it's going to be quite as critical this time around to make that move to keep Kellen Moore from leaving, you know, give him a big raise, give him a promise, either a firm promise or a wink nod promise that he's going to become the guy. So I don't get, but you know, the thing about this year, you got nine teams now looking for coaches. There is no clear must have guy. There is no front runner. There's no, ooh, we got to go get him. So everybody's taking their time and everybody's probably going to get their chance of either their first or second choice, because it seems like everybody's going to want someone different by the time it's all said and done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.